Good morning, everybody. It is the 23rd of September 2021. This is the ADK Homeroom, your home away from homeroom, and I am your teacher in exile, your host, Frank. Well, we've got a great weekend coming up here. We are officially into fall, and we are heading out. We're going to camp. Got the tent out yesterday, and major fail, big fail right there. Oh, we did not store the tent properly, apparently. So we got a little bit of a dirt, leaves, mold, maybe. I don't know. Some type of junk growing on that tent. So we'll see if we can get that rehabilitated in time for heading out mañana. There will still be a podcast tomorrow morning, of course. But then we're looking to head out and enjoy the beautiful colors that are going to be shining on the hillsides, the mountainsides up here in the Adirondacks. If you don't have that fall color hitting the peak down where you are, I'm sure that that is because you are not up in the mountains. We are, I assure you, heading towards a peak weekend of fall color. So get on up here. If you haven't, why don't you move on up here? I still don't understand why every time I talk to somebody, they say, oh, love mountains. I love lakes. I love nature. It's so gorgeous. And I hate these big box stores. Oh, my gosh, they're so ugly. These Walmarts and these Best Buys and these Targets. Ugh. And then yet, everybody always chooses to live by the big box stores and they don't choose to live by the mountains and the lakes. And all this gorgeous wildlife we have up here. I heard a story, though. It is, maybe they're scared of their cats, because I did hear a story about an owl attacking a cat the other day. It definitely happens. You want to keep your cats indoors up here unless you want them to be having a high-risk life. Speaking of risk, that is in the other podcast today, so make sure you go and check that out. How should we be recalibrating our risk estimates in light of the pandemic? But in this podcast right here, this file that I'm about to finish and upload, we have the fourth in a series. So far, we have done what your kids are learning in high school about mental health, about science, and about English. Today, we're going to look at what kids in American high schools right now are learning about or learning in the so-called hidden curriculum. Teachers love to use this term, hidden curriculum. It gets bandied about at teacher conferences all the time. What does it mean? Well, the hidden curriculum covers all things outside of the actual subjects on your schedule. So it is not gym or PE. It is not art. It is not calculus. It is not biology or living environment, as it's called these days. Rather, the hidden curriculum covers things like, whose class is the easiest? When can I bring my phone in the hallways? When can I bring it to class? When can I not bring it? What will I get in trouble for? What won't I get in trouble for? What do I need to be a successful adult? What will help me the most? What's really worth spending time on here? Anything that's outside of those core subjects or even the non-core subjects, anything that's not graded, assigned, officially taught is the hidden curriculum. And I have six topics for you today. What are kids learning? What are they being taught in the hidden curriculum? First, we're going to go over the pandemic. Second, politics. Third, values. Fourth, community service. Fifth, I'm going to call it original sin in the state of humanity. I'll explain that when we get there. And sixth is our future. Our collective future as a civilization, as a Homo sapiens species. Let's get right into it first. What is the state of education about the pandemic in school? Well, let me tell you, it isn't good. So let me just start with a story here. This was a story that I heard from another teacher, and she was just talking to me about a trip that she had. This was a couple of months ago, and she was out to eat with her sister and the six people that lived with her sister in her apartment. It's a big apartment. It's basically a house. And they were out to eat. And she was vaccinated and her sister was vaccinated, but the other six people with them were not vaccinated. And she said, "Well, Frank, you're not going to believe it. But after we got home, we found out that my sister and I tested positive for COVID. And no one else at that dinner tested positive for COVID. And we were the ones vaccinated, and nobody else there was vaccinated. And that just proves how important it is that you have to be vaccinated." And I was busy with some other things, and I didn't really pursue that any further, but that really proves the opposite of what she was trying to say, right? If you're at a dinner and you've got seven or eight people there, and the only two who contract the virus are the ones who were vaccinated, that's kind of an argument against what she thinks it's saying. It's not really, that particular argument is not really supporting the fact that you should be vaccinated. By the way, I'm just going to take time out here to say that I do encourage all adults to get vaccinated. I am fully vaccinated myself. So that's not what this is about. What this is about is the complete misunderstanding and misrepresentation of evidence as it relates to the pandemic. This is what's going on. The kids are learning and they're being taught by people who think that no matter what the evidence is, you have to hew to the party line. No matter what the evidence is, it could say the complete opposite of what you want it to say, like in this story. But no matter what the facts are, no matter what the evidence is, it's going to mean the party line is right. Whatever the evidence is, it's going to mean you should wear a mask. Whatever the evidence is, it's going to mean you should get vaccinated. Whatever the evidence is, it's going to mean that this is a super scary disease and you should be very, very afraid of it. You should do all the precautions, social distancing, masking, air circulation, whatever the evidence is, it's going to support that. Because these people can't conceive of any other reality. And we'll get to why that is when we get to the further points in here, like politics. But it's like right now, it's like Taming of the Shrew. You got Katarina, you got Petruchio out there, and the guy says, "Well, that's the sun." Then it is the sun. Even if you're Katarina and you're looking up there and you're saying, "Well, I think that's the moon," right? You look at this evidence and you say, "Well, eight people here, one guy got vaccinated, the other seven did not, and the vaccinated one got sick. I kind of feel like that's evidence for not being vaccinated." No, you're not allowed to think that. If it's according to the party line, if that's the sun up there, according to the Petruchio party line, if that's the sun, then you as Katarina have got to say, "Yep, it's the sun. It sure might look like the moon to me." You can't say that. You just have to say, "It's the sun." And then if the next week Petruchio, the party, changes their mind and you have to and says, "Oh yeah, it's the moon, it's not the sun, and it's the same thing up there," then just like Katarina in that famous scene, then you gotta say, "Yep, okay, I think it's the moon. You're right, I was wrong before. It's definitely the moon now, because you said it's the moon." You know, it's not Taming of the Shrew, it's Taming of the Student. Are there exceptions to this out there? Of course, there are. There are always exceptions. We're speaking in broad generalities here, in tendencies, in likelihoods for what your kids are going to encounter. Keep in mind, this is public school that I am referring to. Private school, actually, at this point, is not going to be much different, because most private schools do, one way or the other, get aid from the state, one way or the other. By the way, that should be another podcast topic. So 99% of the teachers in public schools are in the teachers union. This is one of the most progressive organizations in the nation, also one of the most self-serving. So about the pandemic, your kids are absolutely being taught in the hidden curriculum that one way or the other, the evidence supports masks and lockdowns and vaccines and terrible, terrible amounts of fear. Doesn't matter what the evidence is, it will be used to support that line. There's no thought process or rationally examining the evidence. It is just, oh, here's the evidence you want, that that's the conclusion. And they do want evidence. They love evidence. They preach that you have to have evidence. What they don't preach is that the evidence actually has to logically support what you're concluding. It only has to emotionally support or politically support or socially support. There's not a room for logical or rational examining of the evidence. So another example of this goes back a little bit, again anecdotal but illustrative, I think. And this was on the beach during the summer of 2020, and we were kicking the sand around there, watching our toddlers splash around in the water up here in the Adirondacks. Have I mentioned the Adirondacks are awesome? Anyway, so I said to her, she's a teacher, I said, what do you think we're going to have to do this fall of 2020? She said, what do you mean? And I said, well, lockdown was really harsh last spring. It hurt the kids. We weren't allowed to be in school. You think we're going to reopen? Do you think we should reopen? How do you think we should deal with it? Do you think we should have masks? Don't you think maybe that'll hurt the kids' development? What do you think we should do? This is going to be tricky. And she said, well, thank goodness it won't be tricky for us. We'll just do whatever they tell us to do. Just like that. As if there wasn't ever a question for a nanosecond that she might not do as told. As if there wasn't even a question for even a nanosecond that you might think for yourself that the local school board might stand up against what the state education department is saying, that teachers might stand up against what the board of education is saying, that students might do the same thing. Not even for a nanosecond, just, oh, good thing it won't be tricky for us. We'll just do whatever they tell us to do. And that's the type of mindset that your kids are getting in the hidden curriculum, especially about the pandemic in school. Sure, there could be exceptions, but in our faculty, again, we're a small school, about six dozen, I would say less, virtually everyone is in the union, and I would say less than 10% has any interest at all in even considering whether the state education department or CDC or FDA is handling this correctly or not. Most of them just want to show up, do their job, collect their paycheck, and they do care about the kids, which is great. They absolutely care about the kids, but in terms of questioning authority and questioning word received from higher up, no, it is not on the agenda, and I don't think they see that as wrong. I think they see that as great. They see that as being a good soldier, not questioning what comes down to them. And that is the sort of approach to the pandemic that they are modeling and passing on to your kids in the hidden curriculum. So yeah, just to summarize that first point, they're teaching kids to be scared, teaching kids masks are necessary, teaching kids that the vaccines do not provide enough protection to get back to normal life. And this is, of course, ironic because most teachers are great people. They are really kind. They're real helpful. And they would never, ever, ever consider themselves anti-vaxxers. And yet here they are out there denying how effective vaccines are. Not putting two and two together there. It is a shame. Now let's go on to my second point, the hidden curriculum politics in school. This is a big one, obviously. First of all, if you think that politics are not being taught in school, you're just fooling yourself. It is absolutely part of the hidden curriculum there. As I said, most of the teachers are in the union. Most teachers are progressive, if not super progressive. They are communicating that to the kids. And I've seen teachers tell kids that without the teachers' union, they wouldn't be nearly as well off as they are now. They wouldn't be making as much money. They wouldn't have as many benefits. Unions are great. It is super important to stick to your union no matter what. So I'm going to list five examples really fast here. Progressive politics that are so ingrained in school culture. These are just the ones that are so deeply embedded in the school culture and the hidden curriculum that no one even stops to consider that there might be an alternative to the progressive stance. So, number one, unions are great. Unions need all the power they can get. Number two, Trump is racist and terribly evil, one of the most evil human beings to walk the nation's roads and trails and paths in a long time and maybe ever. Number three, Democrats definitely are kinder and actually care about people, while Republicans care about some other things that are important, like money and business, but they are absolutely not as kind and caring as Democrats. Number four, the world is literally going to end and become uninhabitable for humans if we don't do something drastic about fossil fuels. Number five, nuclear power is super dangerous. Number six, every student ought to go to college. So there you go. Those are the six things that are so deeply ingrained in place in the hidden curriculum that I don't think anybody even questions them. I don't think anybody even considers that there's an alternative. For example, this last one, every student should go to college. Now, I know a lot of teachers at our school actually don't think this in their private lives. I see what they post on Facebook. Not that that's super private, but in their school lives, our school participates in a program that is literally called, the name of the program is called College for Every Student. And again, our teachers are good people, and they want what's best for the kids. They care about the kids. And I know a lot of them really support trade schools, and they really support being an electrician, being a plumber, working the construction trades. And these things are awesome. We absolutely should be supporting it, what Mike Rowe might call the dirty jobs, right? But in school, it's put in so deeply in place that the kids get this message. Like I said, our school is in a program. The name of the program is College for Every Student. So that's what they're learning about politics in school. Basically everything progressive. And it's not always the teacher's fault. It's the system. It's the way it is set up. It's the dominance of the union. People are scared to break free of this. And a lot of teachers, by the way, when it comes to politics these days, not every teacher, there are many exceptions, like I said, but a lot of teachers think they're doing their students a disservice if they don't talk about politics. They consider it sort of their mission. A principal at one of my former schools was fired because email surfaced where she was communicating with other people and saying it's her mission to enlighten the closed-minded people in this district that she had come to, the small town upstate New York district, and it was her mission to enlighten them. And she was saying in her emails how people were voting the wrong way here. And she had to work to make sure, or it was her goal of her job to change that. She was some missionary coming up to this small town up here on the Tug Hill Plateau is where that school was, not quite the Adirondacks, but basically. And of course she got fired because this came out, and I think she should have been fired. But this is the attitude that prevails. Not every teacher has it, thank goodness, but many, many do. They see it as their mission. They're missionaries, and they are trying to change the way that kids are being brought up in some cases, or that society has chosen to act. All right, third in our hidden curriculum piece here, values. This goes along with the politics one, of course. Here are some values that kids are being taught in school. Kids are being taught that skin color is very important. They're being taught that it is very important to have black and brown people around you. This is different than when I started 25 years ago. Of course, I was on a anti-bias committee, ABC, in 1996-97, and our project was to do a quilt, and every kid that had a square in the quilt, the theme was color doesn't matter. Well, contrast that to now. Color does matter very, very much right now. And the kids are being taught that. Skin color is very important. It's very important to have black and brown people around you. And it's very important to pay attention to whether a person is black or brown or whatever color their skin is. They're being taught to value that. The kids are being taught that sex or gender is very, very important, and it is very, very important not to link your sex to your gender. You have to understand that one does not necessarily determine the other. They're being taught to value the separation of sex and gender, and they're being taught to value the idea that biological sex, birth sex, really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. They're being taught to value diversity, diversity of religion, skin color, age, sex, gender, sexual orientation, ability. They're not being taught to value the diversity of thought, the diversity of political opinions. In fact, when it comes to that, they're rather being taught to value conformity and obedience. Like I said, no matter whatever the evidence is, it supports the party line. Don't think about it. Don't examine it carefully. Whatever the evidence is, it supports the party line. Kids are not being taught the old hippie idea of question authority. That has vanished from the hidden curriculum. It just is not there. Kids are not being taught the value of disagreeableness, right? There is, Jordan Peterson talks about this, how there's a positive correlation between disagreeableness and at least financial monetary success in your career, also along with prestige and status in some cases. So, disagreeableness, though, being taught, no, it is definitely not. It's conformity and it is obedience that is being taught. Other hippie values, other than resistance and disagreeableness and questioning authority, other hippie values are being taught, right? Peace, love, even the drug culture, including alcohol, especially including alcohol. That gets a wink and a nod from a lot of teachers these days. It is different than a long time ago, again. So, in short, just like with politics, all the progressive values are being taught. That shouldn't surprise us. Teachers' unions are extremely important. Teachers feel a lot of pressure to go along with the union. They feel that without the union, they would be in a terrible spot. They wouldn't be able to feed their families. And so they go along with the union, and the union is extremely progressive. Two last things about values. The first one is free speech. Free speech is definitely not valued in the hidden curriculum. Free speech is questioned. In fact, free speech is blamed for a lot of horrible things going on, like Trump. So that's what's happening with free speech, not valued at all. And when somebody is disagreeable, people are assuming that they're a bad person. What's being taught and what's being valued, if you disagree with that, you are a not good person. There is something wrong with you. It's not just that you have a different take, it's that you are wrong. And not just wrong, but bad. So, no surprise there in our third topic, values. Let's go to our fourth topic, which is community service. Almost every high school has a community service requirement for graduation now. The National Honor Society, which used to be an honor society, is actually now pretty much just a community service organization. They do still honor the top, I think 20% is the maximum that you can have in terms of GPA, but absolutely by far the emphasis is on community service and volunteer work. You have to have it to get into the society. It's almost more important than academics. And once you're in the National Honor Society, you must, to avoid having your membership revoked, you must have hours and hours of onerous volunteer work that you complete. Very special, very prestigious to receive the Community Service Award at the end of the year in most high schools now. And the kids are being taught that an organization like the school, whose purpose is education, is right and virtuous to force kids into labor programs. So that's the value here, is that even if your organization is completely divorced from forced labor or from cleaning up the garden or for, sweeping trash out of the streets in the town, it is right and proper for your organization to force you to do that. At lunch one time, I was sitting with the community service director at our table, and here's what I said. I said this story will just illustrate how people think about community service and how the emphasis is on forced labor. So I was sitting there and I said to our community service director, "Hey, our kids worked really hard this summer. A lot of them had summer jobs. They work at the resorts. I have one student who works three jobs. I have the student that I helped open an IRA. He worked like 60 hours a week at his restaurant this summer. They worked really hard, and a lot of them are continuing to try to do these jobs as much as they can after school here in the fall. How about we give them credit for their tax money toward community service hours?" And I was met with blank stares all around the table. The community service director looked at me as if I was speaking, Fearon or Elvish, or as if I were some sort of alien creature just babbling at her, gibbering mouther, if you will. And so I tried again. I said, "Well, doesn't this make sense, right? Because taxes, they are by definition money given back to the community. These kids are working, they're generating wealth, they're producing wealth that wasn't there before. And then some of that money that wasn't there before and would not have been there if the kid hadn't been working, some of that money is taken and given back to the community. So shouldn't that count as that kid is doing community service? Let me give you an example. What if the kid pays $450 in taxes? Well, divide that by like a minimum wage of $15 per hour, 450 divided by 15, that gives you 30 community service hours, right? Because it's the value of working. If you've been working in community service for 30 hours, multiply that by 15-hour wage, that's $450 worth of work that you did. But if the kid has already paid $450 in taxes, then that should count, right? Because taxes are community service. I looked, more blank stares. They couldn't even imagine that somehow taxes were the same thing as community service. It was completely foreign idea to them, and they just kind of laughed. And then the community service director said, "I'm not really sure you understand the point of community service." And at that point, I just kind of dropped it. I was thinking in my head, "I don't think you understand the point of taxes," but I didn't say that. So that's what we're up against with community service here. It's really about the forced labor. They just want the kids to learn to do forced labor. They don't care about the value, the actual economic value of the community service. They care about teaching kids that they have to do labor in order to satisfy their organization, which has nothing to do with labor. Number five, let's move on here to number five. This is the one that I said I was going to call it like original sin or the state of humanity. And that's a little abstract, but in this hidden curriculum, guys, I got to tell you, the kids are constantly being taught that people are bad. They are constantly being told, "Oh, well, our houses are stealing land from the golden plover. Our dams are blocking snail darters. Our windmills, oh, millions of bats and birds. Our windmills are killing millions of bats and birds all the time. Our straws stoop straight up the nose of those turtles. Oh, it's terrible. And people keep using straws. Such a bad species we are. Our businesses, never the government, our businesses are poisoning the water, like in Flint. Our businesses sell tobacco that kills little kids. Our businesses are based on gas, fossil fuels that are making the planet uninhabitable." I am telling you, the kids are barraged constantly every day with the idea that humans are bad and that we have built a bad, terrible, wrong society. The kids never hear about how the Enlightenment has led to this unprecedented, stunning expansion of wealth and welfare. They're never taught that the modern development in the world has led to, like I say, 50,000 people being lifted out of abject poverty every single day for the last half, three quarters of a century. They're never taught about these amazing things. They're never taught about how child mortality has dropped to the point where you don't get Ben Jonson writing these terribly sad poems about his son dying. Instead, you just expect that your kids live. Child mortality has decreased by an order of magnitude, and the kids don't even they don't get taught that, and that is not pointed out to them. They're just told how bad people are and how bad life is. Sometimes I say, hey kids, let's do an exercise. This is like a classic exercise. Which would you rather have, $100 now or $100 100 years ago? Well, they always say 100 years ago, right? Because they have learned to some extent about interest, and they have learned that $100, they've learned about inflation, and they've learned that $100 a while ago would be worth more than it is now. And so I say, oh, okay. So you got $100 a year, 100 years ago. Now, what are you going to spend it on? And then the kids say, what did they have 100 years ago? Well, they didn't have Xboxes. They didn't have phones. They didn't have cars with air conditioning and heating and radios and GPS. Didn't have airline tickets to go around the world. Didn't have color movies or movies with sound. No Netflix. No antibiotics. No healthcare as we know it. So what are you going to spend it on? And then the kids start to get it, and they're like, oh, maybe we have made some progress in the last 100 years. But other than that, and there are some great teachers, there are some other teachers that point out amazing things like that too. But by and large, every day there is a deluge of bad news presented to the kids, and humans are the culprit, business is the culprit. Human industry is the culprit. Just inundated these kids are with that sort of idea. Sixth, in the hidden curriculum ideas here, what your kids are learning in the hidden curriculum, the future of civilization. Ooh, this one is pretty easy. The kids are basically being taught that we're doomed. We are goners. Already we're goners. The tipping point has been passed. What else are you going to conclude when your school has three climate change assemblies, all about how bad man is, by the way, two suicide awareness rallies during the same year, and that's about it. That's it for your school-wide assemblies. You get five. That is a high number, but I've been in schools where that exact total happens. Sometimes it's a little bit more about suicide and a little bit less about climate change. But that is pretty typical. So what else are the kids going to conclude? What else are they going to conclude when they have textbook examples and movies in class? A big pharma is bad, big healthcare is bad, big oil, big everything except big government. Everything is bad, and it's exploiting us, and it has no regard for us. And teachers who think that the fact that the country elected Trump, it means that we are just headed for the end times. He was a harbinger, a prophet, a symbol of the upcoming Armageddon, the upcoming doomsday. So, yeah, that is what the future of civilization looks like. We're doomed, according to what the hidden curriculum is presenting for these kids. And of course, that plays into helplessness, right? It's teaching the kids that they are helpless. That this fatalistic worldview is the correct one. There's nothing they can do. They might as well just lie down and collect some welfare while you wait for the world to end. That's it. All right, so those were the six things that are going on in the hidden curriculum. We talked about the pandemic, politics, values. Basically, the short version of that is progressive values. Progressive politics and progressive attitude toward the pandemic. Then we talked about community service, original sin and the state of humanity, and our future as a race, how we're doing as a civilization. And the conclusions there are that we're doomed. It's all over except for the shouting because people are evil and what they do is evil. And if you want to have hope of being a good person, you have to. Well, there's not too much hope, but you have to elevate birds and trees to the same moral standing as humans, or at least close to that. and you have to give up fossil fuels. Maybe you want to live in a cave. Of course, they never point out to people that the by far largest cave dwelling population on Earth right now, there is a large cave dwelling population on Earth right now. I don't know if you know that, but in the Lost Plateau in China, a lot of people still do live in caves, but they're really cool caves, right? They have electricity, refrigerators, Xboxes, probably not PlayStations, right? Because it's really fascinating. A lot of Chinese people don't play a lot of Japanese video games because of Nanking. So there is a big cave dwelling population out there, but they have really cool caves. So in fact, they're not the sort of caves that some people will be talking about when they say go live in a cave to support nature. Anyhow, that is it for this podcast. Make sure you check out the other file that I'm uploading today. In that other file, we're talking about recalibrating our risk. Very important topic. Take care, folks.